For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you. Right here on the ocean floor, such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, darling, it's better. Now where is weather? Take it from me. Up on the shore they work all day, out in the sun they slave away.
Tonight is opening night for the next production at the Racine Theatre Guild, and it is of the delightful Disney musical, The Little Mermaid. And we're going to be talking with several different people involved in the production, but we're beginning with Managing Artistic Director of the Racine Theatre Guild, Doug Instanis, who is also the director of this sprawling production, featuring a large cast, all kinds of dazzling costumes and special effects. And it is a huge undertaking, not only by the cast, but by the large crew that is also necessary to make all the magic happen. And Doug Instanis, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning.
So how does one look ahead to a big show like this in the month of December that you know will involve all kinds of bells and whistles? I should think it's maybe an exciting challenge, but also one that is a challenge nevertheless.
It is. We normally have done a big musical during the holiday season, but then COVID hit and we had 2 years off, and then we did a smaller show last year, A Christmas Story. And it's like, when you're going for 20 years nonstop and then you take 2 years off and you come back, you say, oh boy, I'm getting old. it's like, wow, I forgot how big this is and how many people it involves. But, I'm always truly amazed that we can get so many people to work so hard on a production. And I'm just in awe of these people that, come early, stay late, take vacation time, miss time with their family and friends to do this production because it has some meaning to them. And a lot of it has to do with, we also do this daytime performances for school children, and they really like that. They, try to be role models for kids. And so it's an exciting time. It's a lot of work. We're not getting a lot of sleep, but it's all coming together and should be very magical.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners know at least something about The Little Mermaid, but for those who are not all that acquainted with this story and specifically with this musical version of the story, give them whatever background you think will be helpful.
Sure. It's, the basic tale from Hans Christian Andersen about a mermaid named Ariel who lives at the bottom of the ocean with her family and longs for a world above where magical things happen. And she sees Prince Eric, who is longing for some type of venture in life, doesn't want to be prince, likes the adventure of the open sea. When his ship goes down and Ariel saves his life and falls in love with him. And, of course, that's not allowed for a mermaid and a human to have a relationship. And so she goes to the evil sea witch, Ursula, and wants to trade her legs, you know, her fins for legs. And Ursula does that, but has to give up her voice. Ariel has to give up her voice. And so she comes to the service, meets Eric, but she can't talk to him. But they develop a relationship over time, and he indeed falls in love with her. But the rule was that you had to get Eric had to kiss her within 3 days, or the spell was broken, and then she has to go and live in Ursula's fiery dungeon and for eternity, right? Loses her soul forever. And of course, they miss that time period, and Ursula drags Ariel down to her fiery cave, and Triton comes in, and her father, and gives up his freedom for hers, and Ariel finds a magic shell that has Ursula's power, and long story short, boy gets girl, happy ending, and we sing beautiful songs, and we have cool water effects, and it's really, it's a basic love story that this people from two different worlds love each other, and how do we come together, and how do we compromise, that story never gets old. It's just told in different ways about two, West Side Story. But at least the lovers don't die in this show. Everybody lives happily ever after. But it's the whole tale of how do we, come together when we have such different backgrounds. So it's a great story, good songs. Everybody will remember some songs, and there's some new ones. That's the fun thing about the musical compared to the movie, that they threw in a couple extra songs that are really quite lovely.
Right, I quite agree.
So
one of the challenges, of course, of mounting a show of this scope is that this particular show also involves daytime performances for area schools. And so when it comes time to cast this show, we're talking about people who are really giving up a lot in order to be part of this.
They are. They have to take time off of work to do that, or away from school, which, this is finals week for a lot of people. And so it's a huge commitment. But I think, a lot of our performers remember that the first time they saw a play and how magical it was for them to see that and how that inspired them. And I think they want to give back. And it's a really important program at the Theater Guild that we have for trying to get the younger generation involved in theater and excited about theater. It's great. It's my job. I get paid to do this. They don't. And I have the utmost respect for these people that take so much time off to do this daytime performance for the kids.
So tell our listeners about one or two aspects of kind of the visual razzle-dazzle that is part of this production, and also give our listeners some sense of the challenge that is involved in making that actually happen, make it a reality for the audience.
Yeah. The real challenge, of course, is going from the sea to the land. And sometimes scenes take place in both places. We have birds and people with feet and fishes all in the same scene together. And so how do you divide the stage, especially our stage, where we have a thrust theater, into two different worlds? So we have to do a lot of lighting effects to try to make that happen. So I bought these wave machines that are kind of cool that make it look like flowing water. So we try to use that and some special effects when it comes to that. And, some of the actors also, how are they supposed to swim through the ocean? And the Broadway production used Heelys, and so we copied that. So some of the actors are on these, the tennis shoes that have the heels on them, or the wheels on them. So they're wheeling in and out and around, and so that's kind of fun. And what other, we have magic effects with smoke and twinkle lights and star lights, try to make that magical experience happen. We were very lucky that Bradford High School did this production many years ago, and they made a little dinghy boat for the bay scene, and that is so magical. This little boat comes out and tools around the stage, and pretty lights and twinkle lights, and very romantic. So those are really fun aspects, and I think the real challenge in the show is all the costuming. You know, how do you make all these sea creatures? And you need all of these different types of animals and fishes to produce the production. We've got seagulls, the tap dancing seagulls that come in that are adorable. So there's a lot of things to look at, and I think people will all have a different favorite part. I was talking to some people about, it's like kind of watching a home movie. You know what happens, but you love these people, and you just want to watch it over and over and again because here's my favorite part that's coming up, and oh, how are they going to do that? And so I think even if you've seen Little Mermaid 100 times, you're going to like our production because it's slightly different and, visually very interesting.
Right. The last question. It seems to me that this is one of those shows that is certainly entertaining. There's lots of fun, plenty of comedy, lots of great music. But at the heart of the story of The Little Mermaid, it is in some respects a really beautiful and compelling story about tolerance, about understanding yeah. people who are different from you and maybe overcoming mm-hmm. your suspicions and so on. And it seems to me that it's really easy for a show that wants to have a message like that to be a bit heavy-handed with it. And this feels like a show in which that is not the case, and at least in my unbiased opinion. It feels to me like the message that it delivers in such a way that it can be really easily and naturally received by the audience of any age. I wonder if that's your impression too, as you've worked on every aspect of this production.
I totally agree. I think that's a really important thing. I don't think anybody likes to be preached at. I don't, adults, kids, where you're hit over the head constantly with messages about things. And I think people will bend and learn and experience things and see things in a different light if you kind of come to the middle ground. And I think that's what this show also talks about, is that, it is about, I want to be part of a different world, and that world's evil and bad. And I was told stories that they kill people and they do this and they do that. And when we find out about those people, that's not true. And that's not what happens. And there's actually some dialogue in that between Ursula and Ariel about, he lied to you. He told you that this world was evil and awful. And what did you find it to be? And Ariel says, beautiful. And I think that is true. And then they come and meet each other and they shake hands and we all live happily ever after because we've all learned to be tolerant of each other and not to be fearful of each other. I think if you can't be tolerant, you just at least not scared of people that are different than you. So, I think it's got a great message. And I think it's subtle enough that we will all accept it and understand it and agree with it. I think, in general, everybody agrees with that. It's just how it's presented that they disagree with.
Right. So we are recording this interview, actually, on Wednesday morning, a couple of days before it is actually being heard. And on this Wednesday morning, you are about to embark with the cast on the first of these school performances, correct?
No, we're actually just practicing for that. Our school performances start next week, but we have to run two different rehearsals because of no intermission and some of the technical aspects. So tonight is a daytime performance rehearsal, not a performance. Our performances start next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday area. So we just got to prepare differently for the daytime performances and the evening performances.
That's right. Okay. So as people are listening to this interview, it is tonight then that The Little Mermaid is being performed for the public, for the general public, for the very first time. Tell listeners what they should do if they are wanting to catch one of the performances coming up over just these next two weekends.
Right. We had a real problem. Excuse me. We had a problem with Christmas this year. So we only get to run for two weekends. And many of the performances are very close to selling out. So they should call right away because there's only eight public performances. And they can call the box office at 262-633-4218, or you can order online at www.racinetheater.org, or you can stop by from noon to 6, Monday through Friday, at the box office at our theater on Northwestern Avenue. But don't wait too long. probably not going to be able to come to the door and buy them at the door. You'll have to buy them in advance.
Well, that's a nice problem to have. So, yes, we want to remind people then it's just 2 weekends of performances of The Little Mermaid at the Racine Theater Guild. And the director of this production, Doug Instanis. Doug, thank you for taking time out of what I know is a really busy week. Thanks for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you.
Something about her, and you don't know why, but you're dying to try. You wanna kiss the girl. Yes, you want her. Look at her, you know you do. Possible she wants you to. There is one way to ask her. You don't take the word, not a single word.
And now it's time for us to talk to the Little Mermaid herself. That is the very, very talented performer undertaking the title role in the Racine Theater Guild's production of The Little Mermaid, Elizabeth Sparks. And many of you who go to the Racine Theater Guild will probably remember that she also had one of the lead roles in the production of Mamma Mia that graced the stage there not too long ago. And as a matter of fact, this production of The Little Mermaid marks a reunion of sorts for Elizabeth Sparks and Andrew Dorst, who were a romantic couple in Mamma Mia and a romantic couple once again in The Little Mermaid as Prince and Mermaid. And Elizabeth Sparks joins us for the next few minutes to talk about the fun and the challenges of undertaking this particular role. Elizabeth Sparks, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you so much.
I want to mention that you are a senior at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, double majoring in music and theater with an emphasis or concentration in musical theater. And it is no small matter to juggle all of that with a show like this. And as I recall, at the outset of the rehearsal process, you were busy with an entirely different production at Parkside and had to kind of leave Little Mermaid on the back burner for a time and then really dive in. What kind of a challenge did that represent for you?
It was pretty hard, especially learning lines, trying not to get them confused or mixed up in between shows. I was involved in a play at Parkside, and a play versus a musical are also two different formats to juggle, so it was kind of interesting balancing those.
Right. Well, you have emerged out of that in very, very good shape and delivering such a wonderful performance as Ariel. So when you first saw that The Little Mermaid was on the docket as part of this season of the Theater Guild, did you immediately gravitate towards the possibility of auditioning to be Ariel? And if so, what drew you to this role? What did you find attractive about it?
I just wanted to audition to audition. I really like the musical version, especially with the songs that the movie doesn't have. So I wanted to audition, and if I was just a singing fish, I'd be thrilled to be a singing fish. but the role of Ariel, like receiving a callback for that, was really exciting. Getting to sing the songs that Ariel sings in the show was a really cool possibility to entertain. So, yeah.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about getting inside the skin of this particular character, sort of the arc that she travels from beginning of the show to the end and what it's like to ride that journey or to make that journey happen.
She grows every time we perform the show. She goes through such an arc of growth. It's from taking for granted the place that she comes from, and when she returns to it and then is able to return to land at the very end, she can learn to appreciate both of those. And it's a hard role to play in adaptations of Disney movies, especially. Kids know everything about the character, so trying to bring to life what kids expect to see Ariel like and also putting my own spin on it and learning how this character grows with so many new songs and scenes and backstories for so many characters, it's kind of a balancing act. It's been a lot of fun, but it's been a little bit of a challenge too.
Hmm. Tell us about the experience of singing opposite Andrew Dorst once again. You, as I mentioned, were a pair. You were paired together in Mamma Mia, and now in a very, very different show. I just wonder what that feels like. If it's, I mean, I'm sure on many levels it's wonderful and fun, but also I should think it maybe feels a little strange to be reunited in a story and a score that is so completely different.
It is a pretty different format. It's really comfortable being able to perform opposite of him again. We were able to build such a relationship between our characters in Mamma Mia, and bringing that back into The Little Mermaid has made it really easy to transition into. But it's definitely a different feel than Mamma Mia. So working on our characters together and being able to build the moments that the two of them have, it's a different level of work than Mamma Mia was.
Tell our listeners about the additional songs that were not part of the classic animated film that you are so excited to sing.
So Ursula's got a song, Daddy's Little Angel, and that's a blast listening to. Triton's got some solo songs, and Ariel has a couple of songs. In the movie, she sings Part of Your World, but in the musical, she has a song, Beyond My Wildest Dreams, and she's exclaiming her excitement over being in the human world and living among them. So that's one that's really, really fun. And then four of the characters, Prince Eric, Ariel, Triton, and Sebastian, have a quartet together, and it's called If Only, and that's a really beautiful piece. It's closer to the end of Act Two, but it's one of my favorites, and always has been.
It really is a great score, and I also wanted to mention that I think of the Theater Guild, because it has no orchestra pit, and for other technical reasons, we have to use pre-recorded accompaniment. And I'm not sure of any of the musicals we have done in all of my decades there that we've ever had a track, an accompaniment track, that was more beautiful than this one for The Little Mermaid. In part, the score itself is really wonderful, and also whoever recorded it did a wonderful job. And I should think for you folks, I mean, short of the real thrill of singing with, for instance, full orchestra, that this probably kind of comes close in terms of getting to sing on top of that kind of sound.
Mm-hmm. It feels as close as you can get. It's a really beautiful compilation of all the instruments, how they involve the strings and the horns, and it's just a magical feeling hearing that and singing along with it on stage. So I really hope that translates to the audience, the magic that the show has in the music and in every aspect of it.
Right. And I should think that one of the really fun parts as we approach opening night is seeing those visual magical elements joined or added into the production one by one in kind of a cumulative effect. I should think for you and your castmates, that is a really exciting feeling.
It's been outstanding seeing the costumes get added on one by one and all of the different set pieces that fly in. It changes it. It's such a cool way to run a show, having things fly in and fly out, and it runs so smoothly. And as each element has been added, the crew's done an amazing job of helping those transition into the process, so it all comes together to create this great outpouring of performing.
Hmm. And for you, I should think this represents a role in which you get to really have some fun, but you also have some deeply emotional moments. I mean, Ariel goes through some really wrenching experiences, and I should think by the end you feel like you've experienced just about every rich emotion that there is through the course of this character.
She really does go through it. She has some really high highs and then some really low lows, and how fast some of those flip in the show, it's a lot to keep up with, and it is kind of tiring, but it's a lot of fun, like exploring the extremes of what she's feeling.
Well, you're doing a terrific job with this wonderful role of Ariel in the Racine Theatre Guild's production of The Little Mermaid. Elizabeth Sparks, congratulations on all that. Best wishes to you. Stay healthy, and thank you for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We are talking about the Racine Theatre Guild's production of The Little Mermaid, which opens tonight.
I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me well a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed, pathetic, poor, unfortunate souls. In pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying spells, I said, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now, it's happened once or twice, someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I've had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls.
And if you're going to tell the story of The Little Mermaid, there needs to be a villain, or in this case, a villainess. And on the stage of the Racine Theatre Guild, we have a titanic talent portraying the crucial role of Ursula. Lauren Hammerson has been seen on the stage of the Racine Theatre Guild on many, many occasions, but never in a role quite like this one, as Ursula, who wreaks havoc in the life, particularly of Ariel. And it is a powerhouse performance on so many levels, and she is charged with some of the most powerful and unforgettable songs in this score. And I have Lauren Hammerson on the phone with me to talk for the next few minutes about the experience of portraying this evil character of Ursula in the Racine Theatre Guild's production of Little Mermaid. Lauren Hammerson, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really glad we get to do this. Lauren, ahead of us talking specifically about Ursula, tell us about the first time you were in a show at the Racine Theatre Guild. How long ago was that, and what was the show?
My first show that I partook in was in 2014, and that was for Spamalot.
Ah. And since then, I know you've had some fun in several different shows and in many of the Spotlight concerts.
Yes. Yep. I've done quite a bit of ensemble roles and other, you know, parts of the theater in general, but whether it's crew or behind-the-scenes stuff or on stage, and then as well as in some of the concerts. Yep.
So when The Little Mermaid came up as one of the productions of this season, did you immediately think about the role of Ursula for yourself? I mean, as a possibility? And if so, what drew you to it?
I did. It was definitely the role I had hoped for and was beyond ecstatic to get. I know that a lot of the roles in the show are not necessarily for adult women. They are meant for more youthful women, young adult women. And so I knew I wanted that role, and I also love the songs of Ursula, and I love the attitude of Ursula. While I do not find myself a very villainous person, I do love her sass and the character. It just sounded like it would be something really fun to play a villain, something very different for me and a new challenge that I really wanted to tackle.
Right. So what are your recollections of the classic animated film and of the way that Ursula was portrayed in that film? And to what extent does that have any impact on what you are trying to do in this production?
I really enjoyed Little Mermaid. Is probably one of my top two Disney movies to begin with, so it really kind of worked out quite nicely for me. You know, the biggest thing is her, like, over-the-top persona, that, you know, her very dramatic side, and that was just kind of really screamed to me that I really wanted to try and do and portray Justice, because the person who plays it, you know, they have that big powerhouse voice and they have the over-the-top attitude, and I really wanted to try and do that justice with my version of it, her.
So tell us about the songs that you get to sing in this show. You're given a lot to do, and it seems to me that each one of these songs has its own personality, its own sort of take on the character of Ursula.
Yeah, so there are two main songs that she has. One that everyone knows is The Poor Unfortunate Souls. That is the, you know, well-known from the movie itself, where I do whatever I can to convince Ariel to give up her voice, you know, to try and win her man. But another song that's not in the movie, which is called Daddy's Little Angel, that gives an interesting backstory to Ursula's life growing up with her family. That's just kind of a nice little tidbit, an insight into her life. Not to say that is why she's a terrible person, because I do think Ursula was kind of born naughty, but you know, it's still interesting to hear their backstories and to get more information on a character. And then there are two reprises of the same songs, but it adds to the story. One of them is kind of more involved with Ursula trying to block Ariel in any way she can. And at the end, I get kind of a showdown song with Triton and Ariel, and that kind of finishes it off, which is a lot of fun.
Right. One of the things I think should be really interesting for any of you that are in the cast is, in a show like this that has quite a lot of magic, visual magic, and even some sound effects and so on to really create kind of a magical world, it must be really exciting to see that magic added bit by bit until finally this week, when just about all of those magical supernatural elements have finally been added into the mix. Mm-hmm. and everything is there.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun to watch. It also shows the creativity of our director and our crew members and the designers of the show, but whether it's like set pieces to lights and sound effects, because really a show can only go so far without that, I think. There's only so much imagination that a person can do for themselves to a point when telling a story. And it's just not the same without those things.
Mm. So do you want the audience to feel much at all in the way of sympathy for Ursula?
Oh, I think I make it pretty hard to feel sympathy for Ursula. I think that she thinks she is, I think what's interesting is that she doesn't see anything wrong with her actions, I think. I think she feels justified in how she is acting based off of her past experiences in her life. And I think that's what is a little interesting about her. I think she just thinks whatever she's doing is totally okay, and that's why it's justifiable in her mind.
Hmm. What's it like for you to sing a role in which you get to really fully unleash this huge and amazing voice of yours, versus some shows where you probably don't get much at all of an opportunity to do that the way you can with Ursula?
It's intimidating, to be honest, but because this is doing any Disney show, you kind of feel like you have to do something, you know, do it justice for what they're used to hearing and seeing. But it's been so much fun learning these songs. And while I pride myself in my range, this has been an actual challenge for me, because I think this is the lower end of my range, and it's been a lot of fun for me to really work on doing something different for me, and I've really enjoyed every bit of it.
Wow. Well, you're doing terrific work with this challenging role of Ursula. And on top of it all, on top of all the rehearsals and so on, I understand that congratulations are order in terms of your personal life off the stage. You want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, one amazing thing about the theater is they're very flexible, and I, my boyfriend and I took a wonderful vacation that we had planned for quite a few years, and then COVID derailed it a bit, and we finally were able to get it rescheduled, and when we were on that vacation, my boyfriend proposed, so he's now my fiancé.
Well, congratulations on that and on this wonderful performance you are delivering of the role of Ursula in the Racine Theatre Guild's production of The Little Mermaid. Thanks, Lauren. Best wishes to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
The Racine Theatre Guild's production of The Little Mermaid runs for just 2 weekends, and many of the performances are already almost sold out. So if you're interested in attending, you should act now. You can call the Racine Theatre Guild's box office at 262-633-4218, or you can go to their website, racinetheater.org. My thanks again to Doug Instanis, Lauren Hummerson, and Elizabeth Sparks for joining me on The Morning Show. And to finish out today's morning show, we are going to be telling you about a concert that is coming up this Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at The Covenant in Racine, a beautiful space for all kinds of different events, and in this case, what promises to be a lovely concert by a relatively new music group in Racine, the Spirit of Racine Music Makers. And we have one of the co-creators, as well as the director of the group, joining us via telephone, George Baumgart, to tell us the circumstances under which this group was created and telling us about some of the things that people can look forward to if they attend Sunday afternoon's concert. George Baumgart, we welcome you to The Morning Show.
Thank you very much, Greg.
So, my understanding is that the Spirit of Racine Music Makers were created during the COVID-19 pandemic, that is, at the height of the pandemic, which is intriguing because, of course, that was a point in time when so much of the world of the performing arts all but came to a screeching halt. And we don't think of it as a time when a new group would actually come into being. Tell us a little bit more about the circumstances under which this group was created and who put it together with you.
Okay. July of 2020, my wife, Mary, and Laura Sumner Kuhn and I met on our deck to discuss, possibilities of what we'd like to do musically. I had just retired from my position at Sacred Heart after 40 years of ministry as director of music and liturgy. And so I was looking to continue on. I never thought it would be to this great a degree, but those around me said, yes, it would. So beginning with a small group of former choir members and handbell ringers that I had at Sacred Heart, we formed the Spirit of Racine Music Makers. The first year that we did it, everything was done virtually. What we did is we arranged for them to listen to their music and also to have their parts recorded so that they could go ahead and work on them. Then they would submit their own rendition of their parts to me, and then I would mix them into our program that took place on December of 2020.
So did this group come into being to fill a particular niche? I ask that only because there are, for somebody who had the hankering to maybe sing in a group, there are already groups that are around, of course, that they could join. But you clearly had a sense that there was kind of a void in the landscape and that a group like this would be a nice way to fill that void. What was the reason for creating a new group?
Well, quite frankly, the groups that are currently operating in our area, while you know they've been around for a long time, they also have requirements as far as the talent level that you must be at before you can join the group. For example, auditioning, you know, for particular voices. Mine is a completely volunteer group, and they come as they are. They come as talented as they are, with no expectations other than the fact that this is going to be fun for them to be a part of. And so far, so good.
Hmm. So tell us the kind of performances that you have done before this concert that is coming up on Sunday afternoon.
Well, we had some virtual concerts that we did besides the one at Christmas in 2020. We did... also a virtual concert again for Valentine's Day and also for St. Patrick's Day. And then we had a concert at the end of the year of 2021. That year was both videotaped live so that people could see it right then and there. And also we had an audience of limited audience, I should say, of about 50 people. So that's the way that we basically started to move, towards full audiences.
Hmm.
Last year, we were able to secure our concert at the Colvin Foundation, and that one was very fulfilling as far as our group was concerned because we did pass the hat and we gave that to the UN Refugee Fund. For not just the Ukrainian people, but for all refugees that were experiencing the issues during that time. And so that's where it takes us up to now where we're going to be having our Christmas program at the Covenant House.
Very good. So tell us about some of the specific musical pieces that are going to be part of Sunday afternoon's concert.
Well, we always have to have the traditional White Christmas, and we'll have a combination of things, the grown-up Christmas list. We have a very beautiful rendition of Silent Night. We are also incorporating a number of pieces that bring about the holiday spirit, and that's why we call this a holiday concert. So we have our instrumentalists are going to be performing a Kwanzaa celebration. They are also doing a holiday celebration, which would incorporate two Christmas carols that the audience will be able to sing on. We are also doing a very beautiful piece that, excuse me, is entitled 8 Days of Lights, and that's to honor the Jewish people as they celebrate their season. And then we conclude our program with Feliz Navidad. So just a whole gamut of variety for the holiday season.
Very good. I watched quite a large portion of the concert that you already mentioned, which I think was titled In the Spirit of Peace. That was that benefit concert for refugees around the world. And I have to say I was impressed with the level of music making, particularly given the fact that as you said, this is a very open group, people of all experience levels and skill levels are welcome to come be a part of it. And, of course, that can sometimes mean a certain level of musical and technical excellence that's perhaps rather limited. Not in this case. It was really a beautiful concert, very musical and expressive, and very, very thoughtfully put together. And I trust that Sunday afternoon is going to be that as well. What are your plans beyond this concert on Sunday afternoon? Do you have anything scheduled for 2023?
Not as yet. We are looking to secure the venue before we can decide on a date. Usually it's the first or second Sunday of June, and we usually try to make it around for Christians the Pentecost Sunday, because we are the Spirit, and so that's another way for us to bring our musical spirit to everyone. And I should also mention, too, that, out of the group, we have 30 singers. We have around 15 instrumentalists and 10 handbell players.
Very good.
This is a small group, to work with, but a very wonderful group that just enjoys singing. We just finished last night singing at St. Monica's. And to the residents there, wonderful experience.
How nice. And if people are hearing this and thinking this is something that they might enjoy being part of, what should they do?
Basically, you can come at, be a part of the group.
Yes.
They could certainly enter onto our Facebook page. There is a spot there for new members. But they could also give me a call, and I can provide you with that number. It would be 262-497-1581. And that's how we begin.
And Sunday afternoon's concert, again, is at the Covenant in Racine. And if people, do people need a ticket to attend, or do they just show up to enjoy it?
Show up to enjoy. We are going to, because of the way the Covenant is set up, we will open the doors at 2 o'clock, concert at 2:30, but we're also going to have the availability of a cash bar if somebody would like to have a little bit of holiday cheer before the program begins. There will be an intermission, and we will also pass the basket as our way of fundraising. We are a 501c3 with membership. So everybody who is in our group are considered to be members, and they pay $40 a year. That's it.
Well, we hope that people will mark their calendars accordingly for this concert coming up Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Covenant in Racine. The Covenant is located at the corner of, I think it's Taylor Avenue and Highway 20. Just west of downtown Racine, and it's a lovely, lovely space, and this promises to be a lovely concert as well. And conducting it, George Baumgart. George Baumgart, thank you for joining me today on The Morning Show. Best wishes to you and all of your many musicians for Sunday afternoon's concert.
Thanks very much, Greg. I certainly appreciate it. Have a good holiday yourself.
We have a rain and snow mix falling here at our WGTD studios, and that's going to be the story for the rest of the day. Possibly an inch of accumulation close to Lake Michigan, 3 to 4 inches of accumulation possible well away from the lake. And again, precipitation is expected to continue for most of the day. News is next. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Your gateway to public radio. The time exactly 9 o'clock.